You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time to talk about the Green Bay Packers. This is your Packers Update, the Daily Cheese, brought to you by Packernet.com. The Daily Cheese is a collaboration with the Packernet Podcast, hosted by Ryan Schlipp, the Pack Daddy, and I'm your host, JJ Leahy. Well, you probably heard the news by now. The Packers are not going to the Super Bowl. In heartbreaking fashion, they lost their fourth NFC Championship game in the last 10 years, this time at home to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And to add insult to injury, the national media and most of your friends who are not Packers fans are now chirping about Aaron Rodgers not coming back to the Packers. So let's set the record straight. We're going to play for you exactly what Rodgers said in its proper context. And then we have follow-up quotes as well that are extremely relevant. But first, some housekeeping. Breaking news, special teams coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, Sean Menenga, has been fired. Okay, the media is putting it more delicately, saying the Packers are parting ways with special teams coordinator Sean Menenga, per source. That would be Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. And let me tell you, it couldn't happen to a more deserving guy. I was shocked, stunned, that Menenga came back after last year. A lot of people like to point to the number of penalties that Ron Zook had in his special teams and how those penalties did get cleared up under Menenga, but come on, in every other category, special teams got far worse under Menenga. A refusal to fire him after this past season would have been unconscionable on Matt LaFleur's part. No word yet about defensive coordinator Mike Pettine. We will certainly find out within the next 24 hours, I would imagine. I'm fine with bringing Pettine back. I'm also fine with letting him go. I would expect that parting ways with Pettine would cause our defense to take a step back for a year or so. So if you want to see the Packers back in the Super Bowl conversation again a year from now, it's possible that Mike Pettine is your best ticket to get there. But I trust Matt LaFleur, and if he believes he can get better production out of this group of guys, or even just that moving on from Pettine is the right thing to do for the organization, well, in Matt LaFleur I trust. Chris Barnes is undergoing surgery to repair multiple broken bones in his thumb. He did, in fact, return to the field and play a bit with a broken thumb. He's expected to only need about a month of recovery, which doesn't really matter since it's the offseason. The Packers also signed quite a few players to a future contract for this next season. So far, actually, they haven't released anyone from the team. This is a slight departure from what other teams have been doing. For example, the Baltimore Ravens released Tremont Williams after their season was over. But here are the names of the players that they have signed to next year. First of all, linebacker Tippett Galia, linebacker Dejon Scuda-Harris, guard Zach Johnson, tight end Isaac Nauta, defensive lineman Willington Prevalon, cornerback Stanford Samuels, running back Mike Weber, running back Dexter Williams, punter Ryan Winslow, wide receiver Reggie Begelton, center Jake Hansen, kicker J.J. Molson, cornerback Kavare Russell, defensive lineman Delonte Scott, and wide receiver Juwan Winfrey. Now, in case some of these names are unfamiliar to you, they all have been with the Packers this past season, either on injured reserve or on the practice squad. The only exception, as far as I can see, is Dexter Williams, who had in fact been released from the practice squad. He now gets re-signed to a future contract for 2021. Okay, let's set the story straight about Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron, understanding that that roster might look a lot different for next year, what did this particular team mean to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, they're all special for sure. I think this one, as much as any of them, I just found some really special friendships with, you know, Mercedes and Devontae, especially Tim and I have become really close over the years. Jamal, I love Jamal. Aaron Jones. A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
So how do you go on from here? I mean, you kind of hit on some of the realities a minute ago. So how do you go on from here? How do you take the next step?
Yeah, Bill, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach.
Now, Rodgers went on to say later in the week that this interview with reporters after the NFC Championship game came about 15 minutes after he was, quote, crying in the locker room with his teammates. Immediately following this interview, we had Matt LaFleur.
We got a resilient group just to be down like that and to be able to battle back, being down 28-10 and have multiple opportunities to go win a football game. Nah, I think that's rare. I think that speaks to the character of that locker room, just how tough-minded these guys are. When bad things happen, they don't blink. They stick together. There was no finger pointing going on. But this one does sting, and it's going to take a long time to get over this one.
Hey, Matt, Aaron just finished up with us, and I mean, he sounded like a guy who had no idea whether he'll even be back here next year. Do you think you're going to get another chance with him to do this, and what's the future hold?
I sure as hell hope so. I mean, guys, the MVP of this league, he is – the heart and soul of our football team. So, hell yeah, he better be back here. He's our leader. And, you know, just so appreciative of him buying into what we're trying to get done around here and leading that group. You know, his voice carries a lot of weight in that locker room. And just, you know, I feel for him to be in this situation. And for us not to get it done, I mean, it hurts.
I have some more LaFleur comments for you in a minute, but first let's go to Mark Murphy, president and CEO of the Packers, who immediately went on a radio show the following day and offered his own clarifying comments.
I'll say this. There's no way in heck that Aaron is not going to be on the Packers. I mean, he's going to be the MVP of the league. Might have had his best year ever. He's our unquestioned leader. And, you know, we're not idiots.
I love Mark. Okay, well, Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee's show 2 days later and finally offered his own clarification. And believe me, he did not hold back.
Were you at all surprised to see the wild speculation out there after your post-game comments when you're like, you act like you're everybody's future is up in the air?
You know, I didn't really see a whole lot until maybe yesterday, and then I realized there were some things swirling around. I don't feel like I said anything that I hadn't said before. You know, I said it the first time I talked to the media. It was more a realization, I think, that my future is not necessarily in my control. And I think that was what just kind of hit me in the moment. I was thinking about, you know, Aaron Jones and Corey Linsley and other guys we have under contract, Big Dog, you know, guys who I don't know what their future is going to be, and myself included. Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, you know, potentially win an MVP and, you know, we obviously made it another good run, I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
So I think everybody, though, the reason why, and thanks for clarifying that, by the way, I think a lot of us yesterday kind of piece that together. Now the reaction to what you just said there is going to be, so Aaron doesn't even know if he's going to be on the Packers team next year because he's like a Big Dog or like Aaron Jones or something like that. That's going to be the speculation now. It's like, does Aaron feel as if he is the piece the Green Bay Packers get? Like, that's the that's going to come from that statement, you know?
Well, and frankly, Pat, you know me and Adrian, yep. I don't give a about that. I couldn't care any less about speculation off of that. You know, it was like I'm 15 minutes from crying in the locker room with, you know, some of my teammates. I come and sit down and do this interview, and they ask me questions. I give real answers like I do on this show. And to me, a reality, not a certainty or an absolute, is that my future is not in my hands. Now, that's really the case for all of us, I think, as players. But you can't, I think, naturally, there's times where you let your mind go to maybe, well, I'm going to be a Packer for life, or I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be like a Tim Duncan or a Jeter or a Kobe and play with one team my entire career. I think naturally you dream about that. I mean, that's kind of like a dream scenario, and I've talked about that for much of my career. I think, you know, when they drafted Jordan, it was more just like the reality kicking in going, hey, that's actually never the case. There are no absolutes in this business.
All right, starting to run out of time, so I'm going to play for you LaFleur's comments on the game.
What went into the decision to kick the field goal there on 4th and 8, and do you regret that in hindsight?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having 3 shots and coming away with no yards, and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. And it didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, felt like it was the right decision to do, and it just didn't work out.
Hey, Matt, on that final touchdown at the end of the half, was that man or cover 3, and what happened there from what you saw?
Yeah, it was man coverage. Definitely not the right call for the situation, and you can't do stuff like that against a good football team and expect to win. So, I mean, really, when you look at it, there was 120 some odd plays both on both sides of the ball, plus all the special teams. There was a lot of plays in that game that could have been made that could change the outcome of the game. But the ones that really hurt us the most were that play. And then to come out the start of the second half, had the fumble and they score to make it 28-10. I mean, that really was a big difference in the football game. You just can't do that stuff, and I blame us as coaches, you know, for putting our guys in that situation. That's inexcusable. That should not have happened. So we gotta take a look at it and do some self-reflection and try to figure out ways how that can't happen again.
Well, apparently one of the ways that LaFleur thought he could make sure this didn't happen again was to part ways with Sean Menenga. He will have to find a new special teams coordinator. Before they hired Menenga, Zach Cruz notes that the Packers were connected with Braden Coombs, who was just fired by the Lions last month. According to Goslin's rankings in 2020, Detroit's special teams units ranked 3rd in the league. It would be very interesting to see if the Packers do try and go in that direction. Regarding Mike Pettine, Pettine is actually not under contract with the Packers anymore. Most coaches usually go ahead and sign a 2-year extension. Every year, this was not the case with Mike Pettine. So rather than making a choice about firing Pettine, the Packers will simply have to decide whether or not to extend his contract. Okay, for more in-depth analysis and a look at Packers strategy, make sure you're subscribed to the Packernet podcast, hosted by Ryan Schlipp, the Pack Daddy. Keep up on all the Green Bay Packers news by going to Packernet.com and join the Packernet podcast Facebook group. Please go to packdraft.com/newsletter to sign up for the free weekly Packers newsletter. My name is JJ Leahy. Please follow me on Twitter at JJ Leahy, LAHEY, for breaking Packers news. And this has been the Daily Cheese, your Green Bay Packers news update.